Thank you. That's very good to be here. I feel a bit traumatized or hurt or shocked or something, Sheldon. I've never read this late.
Yeah, you'd be grand.
I normally want to read first and run off, but I can't do that tonight. Wonderful to be here. It's quite a while since I was in Cork. I was trying to figure out how long ago it was, but there was a leather shop closing in town, and my husband bought me a lovely leather bag. So that's the only thing I could think of, and that Louis de Puer was reading as well, and that it was, I think it was in the library. But we had a walk round now, and it looks really beautiful. Really fabulous around. We went to the pictures and we had an amazing meal. So we've just been having such a nice afternoon. We were dreading the walk uphill. It was very easy coming down here. But, you know. So anyway, don't be put off by these books. I won't read a lot from any of them. I'll just read a little from all of them. And I'll start with a couple of poems from my first collection, God is on the Mercy of Both. It's kind of my favourite collection, if I could have one, because I hadn't really read a lot when I wrote it, so poems were easier or simpler, or I was going to say the local curve. No, I wasn't. A man coming towards me with a beanie. That wasn't very nice, and thank you very much. So I just saw a beanie crouching down. Thank you. This is called Mrs. McGettigan. It's about a friend of my mother's. No coincidence was this. It was arranged by God, you would say. Me posting a letter. You were just there. You from somewhere in Ulster, I loved your accent. Me from somewhere in space, you loved my mother. You always said the same thing. Your mother is in heaven, she was a saint, God be good to her. You lifted your eyes, you with the posh brooch, two stones missing, your mass hat. I was just there. Don't ever die, Mrs. McGettigan. I need to see you outside the post office, sending glances to a saint. And the other one from this collection is called The Long Ward. And let's hope we don't have to. It was never nice to be in the long ward, but at the moment it's definitely not nice to be in the long ward. I have never seen an old woman eating an orange. The long ward for the old and sometimes the odd appendix. The long ward for crack, for prayer, a joke, a song, and sometimes pain. In the long ward, silver mints are shared and returned with photographs of my second eldest, or this one is in Canada. Some come to visit, to care, to love, few to count acres in old women's eyes. In the long ward, it pleases when the priest passes your bed. In the dead of night, a cry for somebody's son. No welcome for the grey box that comes to call. Thin legs you see, smiling mothers in new duns dressing gowns, new slippers, boxes of tissues they would never use at home. Always one to joke about the black doctor. Always one to complain about the cold tea, no ham. An eye on the clock, a hand on the rosary beads, pain well out of sight. The loved grandchildren embrace good-looking oranges and ancient smiles. So that's that book out of the way. Thank you. These three are from Philomena's Revenge. And Philomena didn't actually have any revenge. I didn't say page 11. And then there's nothing else. That's not where it is. Oh no, the switch in the bushes, that'll be why. Sorry about that. So Philomena of course, had no revenge, actually. And it was funny, Crispy being there, because he has never actually been to one of my readings, and we were kind of trapped together here. I don't mean to say trapped, like, in a negative sense. It's a very nice trapped. But he actually flew the goop because he went out for a walk. But he has never actually heard, he's never been to one of my readings fully. And it's a very nice thing that he hasn't, actually. And I was thinking, I had the list written down of all the cleanest poems that I ever wrote. So no, I might have to change that. But anyway, he's gone. And I think it would be hard to read in front of him. My daughters sometimes come to the readings and they say, "Mammy, you look so serious." So I think I'll bar them as well. This is called Philomena's Revenge. As a teenager, she was like any other. Boys, the crack, smoking down the backs. Later there was talk she broke things, furniture and glass, her mother's heart. Mad at the world, the old women nod round each other's faces. But it was more than that, and for less she was punished. That weekend she didn't leave a cup alone. Every chair hit the wall, Philomena's revenge. Soon after, she was shifted and given the shock. Round each other's faces, the old women nod. Treatment, they'd given her the treatment. These days, she gets on with the furniture, wears someone else's walk, sees visions in glass. She's good, too, for getting the messages. Small things, bread and milk, sometimes the paper, and closing the gate after her father drives out. She waits for his signal. He always shouts twice, "Get the gate, Philo. Get the gate, girl." Mm-hmm. And him and his terrier, it's about one of the geezers that you'd see around any town, really. Of course, I know them all, and I mean, this fella's dead now. Most of them are dead, but it's actually always easier to read about Philomena, even though, of course, it isn't a real name. It's always easier to read about it in another town, another city. But Ireland is a very small place, as I've learned. And anyway, this is called Him and His Terrier. The demons made his fist dance. No lamppost was safe. Before this, he was fussy about who he said hello to. No insider would ever get his greeting. All the stories had Atlantic Ocean connections. A sailor in his heart, but he never left town. They sought him out for his good conversation. It was water, water everywhere. He got worse, the stories got better. More sea, less land. He went further away till he never left town. They say his brain got sizzled with the booze, methylated spirits in the end. It stole his conversation. No more fights with lampposts. Not fussy about Eastsiders now. His words are few, but he repeats them. Hello to everyone from the corner, him and his terrier. We just saw the artist. The dog was the best. The dog had the best part. I think he actually loved it more than I did, but I guess it was for this. But, well, two down. All the buses, yes, I think. This has Cork in the title. So I guess it's appropriate to read it here tonight. Trapped doctor on Cork to Galway bus. He was on the Connemara run for years. 12 pins, 12 bins, he knew them all. He grew tired of the mountains and the sheep. He longed for the sight of a field of grass. Nothing to write home about, just a square field, an honest field, level and unpretentious. He'd still take it with a cow in it, maybe an old bath, a few rusty gates for a fence, no sheep or mountains need apply. He always said there was a trapped doctor inside him. One day I'll go back to college, was his swan song. Back to Cork was as far as he got. It's a long way depending on how you walk it. One day on the Cork to Galway on the hottest day of the year, while we sizzled, a draft fantasizer asked him, could he open the door, please? He said it was against regulations. That night when he made love to his wife, he said, Gloria, love, Gloria, let on, I'm tall. He wasn't actually from Cork, I'd like to make sure. This is from Philomena's Revenge, and it's called It Wasn't the Father's Fault. His father hit him with a baseball bat, and he was never right since. Some say he was never right anyway, standing behind the kitchen table one Sunday before Mass. His mother said, if Birdie Geary hadn't brought that cursed baseball bat over from America, none of this would have happened. I keep thinking today about the heart that was stolen. Did you see that in the paper?
Yeah.
The heart of Saint somebody, was it?
Saint
Lawrence O'Toole. So that's what to be thinking about for a poem. The heart of Saint Lawrence O'Toole. This is another shortish one. It's called The Blanket Man, 62. We used to call the hire purchase man the blanket man. You know, the person that goes door to door with selling blankets and tools and I don't know if it still exists. I guess it does.
Yeah.
Probably feels more so now than ever. The blanket man. He calls in his new Volvo, collecting the pound a week. Him and his Volvo. Sometimes if she can't pay, he says, come on, missus. If it was my stuff, I bet you have it for nothing. Leaning against the door jamb, she doesn't believe him, her and her cigarette. And from this book, some people, this would be, I'll just take a sip. This would be the most dramatized. And, you know, you might have heard that some of you might be familiar with this. Some people know what it's like to be called a cunt in front of their children, to be short for the rent, to be short for the light, to be short for school books, to wait in community welfare waiting rooms full of smoke, to wait 2 years to have a tooth looked at, to wait another 2 years to have a tooth out, the same tooth, to be half strangled by your varicose veins but you're 198th on the list, to talk into a banana on a job search scheme, to talk into a banana in a job search dream, to be out of work, to be out of money, to be out of fashion, to be out of friends, to be in for the Vincent de Paul man, to be in space for the milkman. Sorry, Mammy isn't in today, she's gone to Mars for the weekend. To be in Puerto Rico this week for the blanket man. To be in Puerto Rico next week for the blanket man. To be dead for the coal man. Sorry, Mammy passed away in her sleep, overdose of coal in the teapot. To be in hospital unconscious for the rent man, St. Jude's Ward, fourth floor. To be second hand, to be second class, to be no class. To be looked down on, to be walked on, to be pissed on, to be shat on. And other people don't. It's actually over 20 years old. I can't believe that. You know, but it feels like I thought I just wrote it, but a long time ago. And the last one from this particular book is it's called Old Soldier. He stood at the top of Shock Street, cursing the Valera, and he muttered something about the blue shirts. And when he saw Mrs. Flanagan, he said, "You could have got worse than me, but you wanted a fisherman, didn't you?" "I wasn't always like this," he said, and his veins broke, and he died alone but not lonely. For many's the revolution he fought in his scullery with his newspaper and his fine words. And let's move on to an awful racket. This is called "You'd Know He Had a Lovely Mother." This is the one that some students wrote to me about from a school in Offaly. I'm going to visit them soon when the mocks are over. They were asking me in the letters, it was somebody who took his own life, and did I know him? What age was he? And it was actually somebody that Christy knew, and Christy told me that he just filled in the background about how he was just really very, very, very easygoing, happy-go-lucky type. And I built the poem around it, because funny how the students, they want to know all the details, and I really have to be careful, because just in case anybody would identify the person, but I hope not. Apart from the actual how he did it is, you know, might be a little bit recognizable. "You'd know he had a lovely mother. He was in and out of Madden's every day, always laughing. He couldn't care less about the weather or the tax on new shoes. He spent hours messing with the kids, doing the three-card trick, blind man's bluff, ring the rosy, or pin the tail. He drove the dog up the wall saying, 'Where's the cat?' He gave old Mrs. Madden a hard time about that Arctic license she needed for that wheelchair, not to mention the brake fluid. 'You're a right gamer,' was all she said as he spun her around the kitchen. The bingo girls called him two little ducks on account of his arse was so close to the ground. He told them if they weren't careful, he'd be the Clark Gable to get into their knickers. He'd give them clickety-click all right. They could shout, check for a line across, but he was only scoring at the goalpost. At this they howled, throwing smoke in his face. Then one day before spring, he folded his clothes, climbed the 78 steps to the tank near the reservoir, and flung himself in. 3 days later, they found him face down and dead. After the funeral, Mrs. Madden said, 'You'd know he had a lovely mother, the way he folded them clothes.'" My time. I let water into my watch that was supposed to be waterproof watch. It's alive, and they say that, yeah.
You've all been there.
Yeah, well, it's a lovely watch. Thinking, what's the point in taking it off at the pool? And it's, I can't find that now, so it must be, honestly, I've been meant to read it. So, because I can't find it, I'll read a different one. This is called "The Visionary." The woman in the sweet shop is turning into her mother. Only the other week she was young, when talk of weddings, wallpaper, new fridges and a small flat in town was all talk. Then, for God knows why, he took a bus that never stopped, and she was left with the wallpaper shame of not having any fruit in her womb that she might buy white socks for. Her mother's tiredness grew into her, her mannerisms, her thanks be to God. When she totted up the numbers, she wore her mother's glasses. She joked about it. "So what difference does it make? Haven't me and Mammy the same vision anyway? Aren't we both farsighted?" This is called "An Awful Racket." It isn't my story, but it's the story of someone I was very close to. In the winter, we don't light a fire every day, 3 days a week max, always on a Sunday night though. Me and the kids sit round the fire and sing songs. The twins clap. They play Baker's Man. We have great crack, except for Justin, I nearly had him in a taxi. That's why we call him Justin. He's 14 now. He's always angry. What good is looking into the fire like Spaz? What's fucking wrong with you, he says. Then all hell breaks loose. I don't allow foul language. I didn't bring them up like that. Then the twins start bawling and I can't shut them up. The eldest starts first. He was born 10 seconds before Paul. I say to Peter, if you don't shut that fucking cake hole, I'll throttle you. Then Paul starts. He has lungs like a broken exhaust. Last year when things were a bit slack, we burnt their father's wardrobe. We split up 2 years ago. We parted on amiable grounds though. I couldn't aim and he couldn't miss. The kids thought it was a howl, me taking a hatchet to the wardrobe on Christmas Day. There was nothing much in it anyway. Only a couple of his shirts I'd forgotten to put in the mincer. Old papers where the cat had kittens. A Banjax tennis racket. That racket caused more trouble. One day no one wanted it. The next day they all wanted it. I ended up throwing it on the fire. It crackled like lard. And let's see if I think I'll just move on. I wanted to read an Irish poem because of O'Veil, the title being in Irish. And this is a very short Irish poem. I love the Irish language. But I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be comfortable writing in it. But I certainly love listening to it. I love reading the Gaelsica. And I love the whole culture thing because my father was from Lechermore and he used to bring me out there as a child. This is called An Teanga Eile, very short poem. Read it as I wrote it first in Tribeza. Bí mé Lechermore le Mahar, bí mé óg an óg, bí gaeth the Mahar ag leabhairt I Teanga Eile, bí siad ag gáire I Teanga Eile, bí siad ag ól I Teanga Eile, bí siad ag tafal I Teanga Eile, bí siad ag ardán I Teanga Eile. Is nu rohanic an imurka kancha, an imurka kancha fi imurka, fisi the queen of Janga Ella. The other language. I was in Lechermore with my father. I was young, very young. My father's relations were speaking in another language. They were laughing in another language. They were drinking in another language. They were barking in another language. They were arguing in another language. And when all the talk came up about immigration, they were crying in another language. Now I'll finish with poems from the new collection. I'm supposed to be watching. Am I okay? Thank you. Because you can really lose track of time and go on for more people to get. I'll start with a poem called His Brazen Hair. Page 11. I think I have a problem with my sight, because if the number's wrong or the book's wrong. Anyway, I was looking at the Breen Burke exhibition in the Fair Green Gallery. Outside, a man lay collapsed on the ground. It was freaking people out. They kept coming in telling the person at the desk about the man on the ground. After a while, the guards came. They were wearing blue gloves. They knew the body on the ground. They poked him with the blue gloves. Get up, Jerry. Get up out of that. Don't you know there's an exhibition on in there, Jerry? And you are making a right exhibition out of yourself out here. Jerry didn't know the arts festival was on. He didn't know about Breen Burke's nudes. Otherwise, he might have washed his face, patted down his brazen hair, pulled himself together. O Sole Mio is about someone who was having an affair. I'll just read the poem. O Sole Mio, my friend was having an affair with a married man. They used to do it in an old warehouse at the docks before the Celtic Tiger got teeth. As she undressed, he liked to sing Mario Lanza, and afterwards, when she was having her fag, it was more Mario. She always said, bravo, blowing smoke in his face. they laughed. Sometimes they did it twice, and for the big finish, he'd blast out, "Santa Lucia." It ended badly when his wife found out. They say she gave him a dig in the mouth at mass, knocking out his gold tooth. Others say she took the pincers to his precious part, squeezing so hard it stymied his voice box. Years later, I met her in Chivago Records, in the aisle between the tenors and the 5 for 25 box set. I asked her how was he now. She didn't know, only she heard he was spotted a few times walking around the new docks, his hand in the air, his mouth open, miming like mad. This is called The Darkness. It's a little longer than I'm so lazy that I only read short poems. I think that's why. Anyway, mention the roof was quite short. Yeah. Okay. I'm allowed one little bit of a long one, but I'll fly through it. The darkness. It was early Christmases. It was perjury lights. It was let's organize the masses. It was death by devotion. It was Googleability talk. It was doctor only cards. It was hailstones. It was gallstones. It was clamping. It was glamping. It was jackstones. It was January sales. It was complex stuffing. It was dishcloth dreams. It was back on the dole fuse. It was false schemes. It was refuse charges. It was false expenses. It was soap operas. It was pop operas. It was spittle in the middle. It was rain, rain, rain. It was kidney stones. It was Nevin Hennap. It was tribunals. It was lost recipes. It was a limo here, a limo there. It was SSIAs. It was Irish Nazis. It was grey days. It was boy racer days. It was MRSA days. It was NAM-a-phobia. It was mimicry Sunday. It was how are you text. It was X, it was pecked, it was Asians, it was swine flu, it was birdie flu, it was real mail, it was single mail, it was jingle mail, it was Biffo's budget, it was Robocop direct not, it was bailout or payout, it was paper profit, it was cranks, it was far-known banks, it was inside information, it was an act of contrition, it was nasty, it was undue plastic, with your family you had affluenza, we adore the old Linda Handy Blessy. Because by thy bailouts thou hast saved our deposits, not. It was Lesbos, Besbos, no to Lisbos. It was Aer Lingus, it was Michael Cunny O'Leary. It was Broken Teeth, it was Singleton Mail. It was Singleton Mail. Broken Storage Heaters, a season for grieving, a season for thieving. It was Cryptosporidium. It was Mama, it was Nama, it was All Hail Obama. It was Cancer Centres of Excellence, my eye. It was never the HSC, it was the centre of chaos, it was lead in your water, lead in your tea, overcrowding in hospitals, it was never the HSC. It was sore heels, cold sores, credit crunch, bailfuls, bailouts. It was stagflation. It was a new four-letter word starting with F and ending with T. Financially untouchable, funt. You funting funt. Or you dirty, rotten, something funt. It was homophobia, it was nomophobia, it was homolonia. Single mail, jingle mail, it was six banks full. We adored your cash, we non-everything. It was high cholesterol, the weight of your sins, the weight of your bins. It was doomers, poofers, moofers, it was out of work roofers. It was goodbye Polish cleaners, we're back on the doors. It was momnesia, it was Slytox, Bitox, Mitox, it was €900 a night. Hotels in Venice, it was chauffeurs to Cheltenham. It was take me from Terminal 1 to Terminal 3, but don't put me in with the plebs. It was take me to Kerry, but put me in a plane. It was Dublin to Cannes, Cannes to Kerry, Kerry to Cardiff, Cardiff to Cannes, Cannes to Northolt, to Northolt to Dublin. It was a conference on women in poverty in China, but make my hotel 5-star. It was I can and I will and I'll do it again. It was more green tea, fat-free. It was on your knee economy, it was never the HSC. The worst has yet to come, said George Grim Reaper, Deeper Lee. It was never the government, it was on Tuha Nua, on Bua, on Board Snip Nua. Thank you. And I'll finish with two. two more shorter ones. This is called No One Mentioned the Roofer, for Pat Mackey, my son-in-law. We met the minister, we gave him buns, we admired his suit, the band played, we all clapped. No one mentioned the roofer, whose overtime was cut, whose undertime was cut, whose fringe was cut, whose shoelaces were cut, whose job was lost. We searched for his job, but it had disappeared. One of us should have said, "Hey minister, we like your suit, have a bun, where are our jobs?" But there was no point. He was here on a bun eating session, not a job finding session. His hands were tied, his tongue a marshmallow. And another one, what was it? That was called, I'll actually read two more because I meant to read. I'll find it after this one. It was called The Immortals, second last. The Boy Racers. Actually, we haven't got that many Boy Racers anymore. It must have been a Celtic Tiger thing.
They all bought their own car,
The Immortals. The Boy Racers quicken on the Spittle Road in Barbie pink souped ups or roulette red Honda Civics with few fault lines or facelifts to rev up about. Only an unwritten come hither of trills with screeching propositions and no full stops if you are willing to ride the ride. Hop you in, filly, in my passion wagon. Loud music and cigarette butts are shafted into space. We'll speed hump it all the way, baby. Look at me, look at me. I'm young, I'm immortal, I'm free. Gemmas and Emmas, stick insects or supermodels, regulars at Be a Diva for the perfect nails, eyebrows to slice, red width, and landing strips to match. They wear short lives, they dream of never slowing downpours, while half syllable after half syllable jerk from their peak capped idols' lips. Their skinny lovers melt into seats made for bigger men. Look at me, I'm young, I'm immortal, I'm free. The Boy Racers never grow older or fatter. On headstones made from Italian marble they become our loving son Keith, our beloved son Jonathan, etc., etc. On the Spittle Road, itching to pass out the light, they become Zeus, Eros, Vulcan, and Somnus. And I thank you. Thanks very much. I finished with this and I hope I didn't go on too long. It's on there. It's actually it's unbearable to be on too long. Anyway, it's been lovely. And this is called The Builder's Mess. And it's just about all the empty houses, the unfinished houses, the ghost estate. And thanks, Paul, for inviting me. My great pleasure. The Builder's Mess. Toxic and tired is the Builder's Mess in post-Celtic Tiger Ireland. Now that the bubbles burst, mother, the ghost estates are everywhere. A bank-old Builder's Mess, mother. All those estates, 620, maybe more. Few finished, loads unfinished, unsightly and neglected. Dirty-faced and dour, mother. Toxic and tired, mother. The Olympic rats run in and out of unfinished drain pipes. Up bare stairs, devouring lagging jackets in hot presses that never had heat. Someone high up in a department is reeking with negative equity, calls all the ghost estates the phenomenon, mother. The homeless guy who is barred from the homeless shelter for urinating in a doorway, he calls them a shame mother, a crying shame mother. Some were completed and vacant, some were found to be occupied, some were found to be empty and occupied, all at the same time, mother. Others were bought but never built, mother. And what did the sons and daughters of the Celtic Tiger call them, mother? The ones who camped out in the floods to get the semi with the decking and the snooker table lawn, mother. The ones who queued with their deposits in their pockets and their unborn children up their sleeves, their shaved backsides hanging out, what do they call them, mother? They call them a travesty mother. What do you mean, a mocker?
Oh.